when I was first asked by yeshiva, by the mashgiach shlita, to give a hesped, I hesitated, and I actually struggled with myself. I felt myself not roy to give a hesped for this Adam Gadol Ad Ma'od. Then as I was thinking, since I heard in my mind the words, this Adam Gadol, was our Rebbe, and the Rebbe of thousands, the words I heard were Kefir Kenu. Frequently, when he was giving a shir, he would say these words, Kefir Kenu, and also Rabbi Pyatansky used those words in his Espinel. Kefir Kenu means in accordance with our measure, in accordance with where we are. Pashut, I think what he meant by Kefir Kenu is that the Torah is so much greater, and this musik we're talking about is so much greater than what we can relate to, what we can have shaychus to. We're going to explain Kefir Kenu at our measure, what we can take out from it, not what the Torah is. So Pashut, it's showing you the romamus of Torah. The Torah is beyond us. But I believe there's the other side of the coin, which is that the Taka is a Kefir Kenu. What one might have thought, that the Torah is so great, there's nothing in this musig for me. It's totally beyond me. And what a Rebbe was teaching us is not there is a Kefir Kenu. In that musig, which you think is beyond you, there is something, Kefi Ya'erech. And this is it. And in a sense, it's validating us. It's giving us a certain sense of chashivas. We have an Erech. In a sense, it's challenging us. It's quite difficult. But the Rebbe is saying it's our Erech. We can get it there. Certainly, the event of the Ptira, with this Adam Gadol Ad Ma'od, who had, as we know, literally thousands of Talmidim, who was Megala in awe to this door, that had he not been Megala, wouldn't be there. He was a Rebbe, an inspiration, a Moreh Derech to so many different people, to Balei Tshuva, to those who were Makar of the Balei Tshuva, to those who didn't spend their lives in Kirov but were learning Yomam V'Layla and Shas and Poskim, to those whose Iker and Torah was not in the Shas and Poskim but in the Chochmas and Nitzer, to all different types of people. He was a Rebbe, an inspiration, a Moreh Derech, certainly cannot pass without an understanding of who and what he was, what his Torah was about, what it meant for Klal Yisrael, what it meant for us. So certainly, I've a chiyuv to understand kefiarki. If the yeshiva is asking me to give over, then they'll try to give over what I have kefiarki. Hopefully, it will be kefiarkeinu. Hopefully, it will be something that we can gain from. I heard from Rav Lapiansky, hopefully I'll be mashlim, what Rav Lapiansky said, maybe give a different type of hesber, but I mean, from this we can get to a greater understanding of what we have to get to. A Rebbe passed away in the Sorei Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas V'Yigash, as the week of Parshas V'Yechi was starting. He passed away at the transition, you could say, between Vayigash and Vayechi. That was when it was in Zman. And if we look at the Torah, we'll see that there's something very unique about the transition from Parshas Vayigash to Parshas Vayechi. Rashi points it out. Rashi asks, Loma Parshazu Stuma? Why is this Parsha closed off? If you look in all other Parshas in the Torah, where it switches from one Parsha to another, so there's a gap. Either it says leaves a gap of 9 letters, or a gap to the end of the line, and the next parsha starts the next line. Well, why is here? There's a parsha, but it's awesome. It's closed up. There's no gap. Rashi gives a teretz. Bikei shalgalas esekets lebonav and nistamimenu, that Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his children, to the shiftei ka, the kates, that which was beyond them, that which is the end of time, when everything comes together, when there's a gulo and there's an achdus, everything comes together at the end. He wanted to be megalat, was closed off from him. So because it was closed off from him, parsha is closed off. We can ask, why is that? The way you tell that was closed off, why? But I think we can take off our Rebbe's Tzalus Nifter. Rebbe's Tzalus Nifter also in the transition from Vayigesh to Vayechi. In the Parsha Stuma, our Rebbe, all he was about was trying to be Megala to us things that were beyond us. Not the kates per se, but things which would lead to things which are beyond our understanding, but could lead us to that. And now it's Nistam Imenu. Now that which he wanted, and that which he was Megala, and that which we would continue to be Megala, right now is Nistam from us. And why is the way which it is communicated to us being that it's a Parsha Stuma, that the Parsha is closed off? I believe those who are Zocha to hear Shiurim from him understood he was, as the Shiva pointed out, as others pointed out, he had a tremendous way with words and the way we express. But it wasn't just with the words. It was the words, and it was a pause, a gap. You would understand it differently because of that way. Meaning he wasn't just conveying the meaning through the words. He would say one line here, and then pause, and then a different line. And you would get the meaning from understanding the relation between these two, the juxtaposition, from understanding the directionality of all he was saying. He was trying to lead you behind the words, of the Chazal, which then he would teach a certain way, and then he would give a metaphor to understand. And then he would be leading you to is what is, so to speak, deeper than words, behind the words. If you would to hear what he is saying without the gaps and without the pauses, you would miss a lot. You would miss all that is behind the words. And the ikker, what he was trying to give over was more than just the words, were what is behind the words, deeper than the words, giving over. That is how he had given. The Maisa, he did this, I believe, because this was Kefi Nukud in Torah, which he was Takam Megali. He taught, as in Shiurim around the time of Chanukah, he taught that the, as he put it, the Iker Chilik, the Iker Machlokas, which you have between the Chochmas Umos and the Chochmas Torah, that they're both Chochmas, and they both give over the Chochma with words, with Dibor, we'd say, with language, they give it over. But in Chochmas Umos, it is, as he said, the words themselves that convey the content. Or I could use his words. He didn't say these words. The words he used were, "Kshigati l'masha zosa meres be'mes, higati l'sofa omek shalamatzius." Roughly translated as, when I reach the full understanding of what it is that this statement is saying, then I've reached the full understanding of existence, of reality. That is what he understood to be in Chochmas Umos. That this, that the saying is that what it's saying is that that is real. Whereas what Chochmas HaTorah is telling you is that, as he said, Rakshi Gati Lereka Yosa Gavoa, only when I reach the level that is above, a sphere that is above what the words are saying, then I'm coming to what the words are directing me towards. As the words of Torah are to direct me towards something that is higher than what the words are. To give a different perspective on reality more than what words themselves can convey. And into this word, he folded over a tremendous understanding of what it means that Torah is called a moshel, what Sefer Mishlei is about, of what Kabbalah is about, of what Moshe Nimshal is about what it means that there's the Olam HaPeh, but there's Olamas that are above Olam HaPeh, which the Olam HaPeh is nishtalshel from, and all different. He distilled it into this understanding that what Torah is about is a very different perspective upon reality, perspective upon language. What Torah is about is going beyond what the words are MS, 100%. And the emphasis of the words is that they lead you to what is beyond the words. And I understand he used to give shir in this way. His shir was to lead you to beyond what was this word. This is one of the reasons why he would say the shiurim, and there would be many talmidim who could understand it at different levels. Because you were not, it's not just the words and whether you understood the meaning of the words correctly. The words were there to lead you to beyond, to understand the relation between this and this and where this is coming from. And so, Lamashal, if somebody understood the psukim, the Tanakh, and the Torah, what he was referring to and what he was going with, they would understand the illusions, the relationships one way. If you understood the Chazal that he was dealing with, you would understand it maybe in a deeper way. If you understood the Maharal and the Ramchal, that these ideas are coming from and how these ideas are connected to each other, you would understand it differently. If you understood the Chochmas and Nista, you'd understand it. But he was dealing with all of these things together and could feed the way which you would hear, could feed what your Kehli is, could feed where you were. Then you would be able to understand what is deeper than the words better. And he would validate each of these, assuming, of course, was a correct understanding. We're not talking about people who have misunderstandings, but assuming it was a correct understanding, there it would be validated. Each kafi, because he said that the meaning comes from the shmiya of the makabel together with what the dibur is. Because the point of the dibur is to go beyond the dibur into what the shmeis is telling. And so what he was megala was goof of this understanding of what Torah is, what Torah brings us towards. It's a new understanding of what it means when there are gaps within the Torah. The spaces in the Torah give us a revach lisbonein, gives us an opening that we could understand deeper. And so it would make sense that understanding what is the zman of his patira, it makes sense. This is appropriate to be the time when there's a sosum, when it's closed off and we don't have the gaps between the words. So we can't see there what is behind the words, between the words. And that is when we have the stima of what he's trying to be megala to us. Another pshat that Rashi said there is in Parsha Zustuma, because kivin shenifta Yaakov Avinu nistimu einayim v'libam shel Yisrael mitzoras hashibud, that the eyes and hearts of Yisrael were closed off because of the tzor of the shibud. Once Yaakov was taken away, from the Forshim say, the shibud itself didn't start till the shvatim were niftar, but here there's a tzoras hashibud, and we can perhaps apply that to us also, that we're not living in a time of shibud, Baruch Hashem, living in a free country, which Baruch Hashem is a Medina Shel Chesed, it enables us to learn Torah, to keep Torah. But a tzaras hashibud, a tzara from the word tzar, meaning a constriction, that we have a constriction because of the shibud. To some extent, we're meshubud to what the society is around us, to the ideals and the ideas and ideals of contemporary Western civilization. To some extent, we have a tzara, we're constricted from that. What the Rebbe was trying to do is to open up our eyes, open up our hearts, and to see in what is the deeper part of Torah, the part that's behind the words, as we said, that we shouldn't be constricted, that we could see that the Chochmas HaTorah that is deeper than the Chochmas of Umos, the Chochmah that we have now. But now with his patira, it's nistimu einayim mitzaras hashibud, nistimu einayim v'libam, our eyes and our hearts are closed again. And that's what we lost at the time of the transition from Vayigash to Vayechi. One might ask, how is a Rebbe Zatzal able to get to that level of Torah, to get to the Torah that is beyond, that is opening up eyes, to get to what I would call maybe the neshama of Torah, or Rav Lapyansky called the tam of Torah? Of course we can't say why, but maybe it would let me kafierki to say something. And in the Torah of the Rebbe, one time he explained that we know in Chazal that the luchos, the shape of the luchos is, they were square, the Chazal say. was flat on top. The Rebbe asked, how come? For hundreds of years, we know that Klai Yisrael depicted the Luchos rounded on top. Shuls and Mantloch, and they were depicted rounded on top. For hundreds of years, why are they depicted round on top if the Chazal say that the Luchos were flat on top? So what he said is that you have to understand what is the deeper meaning of the Luchos, what the Luchos are about. The Luchos were, of course, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, which was in the Emtza, it was in what we call the Emtza of Yisrael, which is in the Lev of Yisrael. That's where Luchos were. And it's not just in the Kol Yisrael. What this was to represent for us is that in our Lev, is the Divrei Torah, it says in the Pasuk, Kosfeim al Luach Libecha. You should inscribe the Torah in the Luach that is your heart. That not just in the Klal Yisrael Umma, not just in Klal Yisrael as a Klal, do we have Luchos in the Emtza and the Lev, the Luchos are inscribed with the Divrei Torah. But your own Lev itself is like a Luach. Your own Lev itself should have Divrei Torah inscribed upon it. So that's the meaning of the Luchos for us. So to give across this meaning, so Klal Yisrael depicted the Luchos as rounded on top. That's the way you evoke the image of a lave, of a heart that's rounded on top. Because the luchas are meant to be what's kisveim aluach, what's written on the heart. What would seem to me, the glufiyasniyas, what would seem to me is that our Rebbe Zitzal embodied this. He knew, as was already said, kol haTorah kula, from a very young age, learned all of Tanakh. He learned all of Shas with Poskim, Rishonim and Achronim, Sifrei Machshav and Sifrei Kabbalah. He knew all the Torah, but he didn't know it as just Yediyus that he had. He wasn't just a repository of information. It was rather engraved in his heart. It was engraved in his heart, communicated from his heart. He didn't have it just as words, just as facts. It was something that was into the depths of his metzias, into his lave, and in his lave, all of the Divrei Torah was there, and in, because of what was there, so in his lave, he was able to see one vision of reality in toto, a vision of reality, of Torah reality, that was formed by all the Divrei Torah that went into his lave. And so he's able to see behind every specific part of Torah, because he was able to see all of Torah in it from his lave as he was working out. See, Tam told us with Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech's Madregas in Torah came because he had a Balkosha to Hashem, V'nasatu l'avducha lave shemeya. He asked for a lave shemeya, a lave that would hear. I mean, it wasn't just he heard with his ears and it went into his mind. And he's asking for a lave shemeya. I mean, it's to him because it was a lave shemeya. From the lave shemeya came out is that ultimately by Shlomo HaMelech was libi ra harbe chachma v'das. Because it was in the lave that was shemeya, so then the lave was able to see harbe chachma v'das. I feel that Avada Kefi Madregoso and our Rebbe was, Mick says, he was koilate all of the Torah that he was makabel from his Rebbeim, and that he learned with his amelis and hasmada into the core of his being, into the lave, and from his lave he was able to see it in his totality and give it off from his lave to all that were interested, all that wanted to hear. He was able to see the harbe chochma v'das because his Torah was in his lave. Regarding the Luchos, it says, of course, that was Choros, they were engraved, but not just engraved, it was Ksuvim, Mishnei Avraham, Mizeh Mizehim Ksuvim. It was written across both sides, it was engraved from one side to the other, and you could read it from either side, which of course we know, it's a nace, because if, normally if something is engraved, so if it's engraved on one side, you can read it on this side. The other side, it comes out that it's backwards, you can't read it. The Luchos, you can read it both sides. But we have to ask, so what is that telling us? Like, so what is the point? A Rebbe would say, Makosif Kan, what's written here? What's being told? Vusepis, why is this the Nais? What is this coming to tell us? I believe what it means is as follows. If, for example, you take a paper and let's say you write on it. So you're taking the ink from outside the paper, and then you're writing from the outside onto the paper. So you're writing on the outside surface of the paper. If the ink is heavy and it goes through, on the other side, what you're reading is backwards because it's really from this surface. It penetrates all through, but you're reading what's really supposed to be on the other surface. Right? The same thing if you engrave. You start engraving from the outside. So this is the surface you're engraving on. If it goes to the other side, you read it backwards because it's really from this side. But Rabbi said, how do you write? The luchas, we said, is the lathe. It's the idea of a lathe. How do you write on a lathe? Do you write on a lathe? You take a lathe and you put ink on top of the wall of the lathe, the outside of the lathe. That's how you write. That's not how you write on a lathe. That's pretending that a lathe is a piece of paper. The way you inscribe on a lathe is not that way. The way you inscribe on a lathe is that you reach into the pnimius. The lathe is the pnimius of the mocher, of what the person is, what his chief is what he's all about. And so from the pnimius, it's inscribed. It's not the chitzonius going in. It's the pnimius coming out. And if it's the pnimius coming out, so it doesn't make a difference if it's this side or the other side. If the pneumia is coming out, it comes out on this side, you can read it. It comes out on that side, you can read it. It's not the from this side and the other side, it reads it backwards. It's that from the pneumia it comes out. So it could come out to whichever side it comes out. It comes out because the pneumia is coming out to the chitzonius. I believe that understanding, in a sense, also speaks to what our Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, was about, that he was able to speak, as was we heard, to different groups, to Israelis, Americans, Russians, to Bnei Torah, to academics, or the stars in entertainment. He's able to speak to all different groups, to the Baal Teshuva who know nothing. He was able to speak to, but when he spoke to the different groups, did he tell them different things? I believe in all times, from my perspective, he was really saying the same thing. He was communicating what was in his lathe. But he was able to communicate what was in his lathe to the people on this side. He was able to talk this side, what they could hear, what they would. The people on this side, he was able to communicate that side. It was his lathe. And because he understood, he had his lathe. And where the people were, he could understand, mizeh mizeh m'ksuvim. It could come out on this side, what they heard, and this side made sense to them, what this, because it was all the lathe. It was all from the pnimius coming out into the chitzonius. And from that way, he was able to have the hashpa on all the diverse people that he was able to go. Our Rebbe was nifter on Asara B'Tavis. And the Rebbe used to explain, to ask, why is the Tzar B'Tavis, Yamtainis, Lahara, the Tzar is that they killed Jews, the Tzar is the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Tzar is Yerushalayim is destroyed. Lahara, the Tzar B'Tavis is just the siege. Well, why is the siege the Tzara? We pass for the other things anyhow later with Tishba, but so what is the Bazundara Tzara that we have of a Tzar B'Tavis, of the siege? So he used to explain that the siege means that it's surrounded on all sides. Nothing comes in, nothing goes out. And the tachlis of Yerushalayim is that it should go out, that there's a shefa from Yerushalayim, an or from Yerushalayim has to go out. Kimitzian teitzei soira, dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. With the siege of Yerushalayim, there's no more dvar Hashem going out, no more Torah going out from Yerushalayim. It's no more or and shefa coming out. And I think we could say for ourselves that the tzara that we had this past Asara B'Tavis was that there was a tremendous shefa that was coming out from Yerushalayim, which is in the Emtzav, the Olam, from the shefa that's supposed to go out to the rest of them. We had from the Adam Gadol of Yerushalayim, who was able to have his Torah to go out to all those in Israel, to all those in Russia, to the America. His Torah was able to go out from all Stadim, from Yerushalayim. But this, what happened, this Asara B'Tavis is that the or of Yerushalayim now is Nebuch not going out anymore. It's like the Tzar of Asara B'Tavis again. And so what do we have to do? We have to be misabel. We have to be misabel to understand the loss, to feel bad for the loss, to appreciate what we have lost, to ask Hashem to bring it back, to in some way, whatever mitzvah, shebe mitzvah, that we can do to bring a mitzvah, shebe mitzvah back, kefir keinu, whatever we can do. Like Chazal tell us, the Kol Misabel Yerushalayim Zoicha V'Ro'ah V'Simchasa V'Chol Mishena Misabel Yerushalayim Eina Zoicha V'Simchasa. So too it should be for us in this chus that we understand properly, to extent that we could be misamic and understand properly and be misabel properly and understand what the loss is of the Rebbe and what the loss is of the Torah. If we're misabel and understand what the loss is, then ultimately we should be able to gain the simcha when the geula comes, when wouldn't be this constriction anymore, when we would have the geula, when the kates will be niskala to us, when all of the aura that's supposed to go out of Yerushalayim and all the aura of this Rebbe will go out of it again, Vasar B'teves, together with the other Yimei Tainus, will ultimately be transformed into Yimei Sosin V'Simcha, through our Avelis, through our understanding. We should bring ourselves to that Zman when all of the Yimei Tainus are transformed, the Sosin V'Simcha, Zbila, Mavis, Lenetzach, Mocha Hashem, Zdim, V'Mel, Kapanah.